Well, it's nice to be back in our home at the Radio Entrepreneur Studios in Natick, Mass., and that means we're hosted by MTP Software, the leader in sports CRM. That doesn't mean we don't want to thank our friends over at Tarlow, Breed, Hart, and Rogers, who hosted us for our legal segment most recently. Our next guest, I've been reading her work for years, Marlo Fogelman, principal of Marlo Marketing. Welcome.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
Finally, a face to go with the newsletters.
Yeah. Absolutely.
So tell us about yourself. Oh, I don't know how I ever got on your mailing list to start with.
I don't know. Well, they've been going out every month since January of 2005. So there's been many opportunities to have gotten on the list.
Wow. And you must have just got out of high school then.
Uh-oh, I like you a lot already. No, I was not out of high school. I was just out of law school, actually.
Wow.
A couple of years after that, I started the agency. And I started the agency in 2004 and the newsletter in January 2005. It was just a really great way, a value-added way for our clients, most of whom are in the food and beverage space, hospitality, travel, hotels, alcohol, CPG, to just have another outlet to share their news.
That's probably how you got my name, because I've done a lot of work in that industry.
Yeah.
I grew up in that industry. Yeah. So, but how do you go from law school into marketing?
You take a very unusual and unexpected path is how you do that.
I want to know more.
Well, when I graduated, there was more in law that I didn't want to do than what I did want to do. I took the bar in New York and Massachusetts because I wasn't sure where I wanted to live. For what I really wanted to do, I would have had to have gone to New York, and I didn't want to leave Boston at the time. So I kind of messed around for a couple of years, and I was working with a bunch of lawyers who were together for this project, and a friend of mine saw an ad in Lawyers Weekly for a PR firm that said, "Are you looking to leave the courtroom and enter the boardroom?" And she said, "You would be perfect for this." And I said, "I don't even know what PR is. I never heard of it as a profession." But I applied, and they had 500 lawyers apply for the job, which was more. This was back when Monster.com was a thing. When
I remember Monster. I had an ex-client ended up, that was part of his route towards the ends of his career.
Yeah.
He did M&A work for Monster. Yeah.
And so they had never had that many applicants for any job they'd ever posted. So I figured if that many lawyers are unhappy, why am I even going to, you know, think about it?
There are more unhappy lawyers today than then.
I'm sure. So anyway, I took the job and I was a natural at it. And 4.5 years later, I started my own agency.
And tell me about your evolution as a marketer. I mean, clearly, you know, for me, part of my educational background was in marketing, and then I worked for, let's say, like a Madison Avenue agency, and then I worked for other, you know, nationally leading agencies. So I learned it the hard way from uncompromising mentors. That's the way I would describe it. How did you learn your marketing?
You know, I am a pretty quick study, and I am really good at faking it till I make it. And so my first client was Starbucks Coffee, and I handled the PR for all of New England. The advertising agency was out of New York, and the client was out of Toronto.
That's a fast track.
The client was out of Toronto, and she was amazing. Still in touch with her today. She went on to become the VP of International Marketing out of Seattle. And so it was very integrated. The approach for me when I was learning was very integrated from the very beginning.
Was she at the client or the agency in Toronto?
She was a client.
Starbucks Toronto.
Exactly. Well,
not unusual. People don't realize Toronto is the number two production market in North America.
Yeah. Well, they used to break the country up into regions, and so the Northeast region, she happened to just be based in Toronto.
It's a huge advertising market.
Yeah, for sure.
Right.
Yeah. So, so my approach was always very integrated. And back then, you didn't have to be, as you well know. You could just do PR. You could just do the earned media thing, or you could just do paid.
It was very vertical back then.
Very, very vertical. But I learned even then, early on, that, you know, I could get a client this many placements, right? Here's your clipbook client with 2.5 million impressions. And if their restaurant is still empty, what is that doing? And so I've always had that integrated approach. When I started the agency, we were integrated between us. It was BS. I'd get a call for something, and I'd have to call and, you know, find people to do the work. But now we really are. So we have a creative team in-house that does everything from brand identity, websites, packaging. We do email marketing, digital marketing, obviously PR. And clients come to us thinking they need something, And oftentimes we're able to really direct them in the best way to spend their money for the most impactful ROI.
Well, I just was on the phone last night and there were two of the biggest agencies in Boston just had a huge shift of business, and that's going to be very disruptive. But I found in the smaller agencies, it's very price competitive. How do you compete in this world? I know you have a niche.
Yeah.
But still, it is hard to compete. And you know, when I was in that end of the business, it was a priced fixed market.
Yeah.
And it was never, that part really at the high end was never negotiable.
Yeah.
You know, it was the same fees basically for everybody, and you bought the firm of the talent, and you really didn't negotiate at that level.
Yeah, no, that's definitely changed across the board in every marketing realm. Everyone I talk to, all of my friends throughout the industry, and huge clients that you would think would have huge budgets. I mean, clients we work with, national, international brands, and when they come to us with their budget, we had a client a couple of years ago, I won't name them, maybe a potato chip company based here, and they were launching a new thing. Like, we want it to be Boston. We want to get Ben Affleck and Matt Damon. And we're like, okay, great. What's your budget? Thinking, well, finally, we've got, they're like, you know, I don't know, $400,000, $500,000.
Right.
All right, that's probably not going to happen.
Right. That's so, not going to motivate me to eat a potato chip.
Yeah, well, not me, but Ben Affleck. Right. Me, it motivates me enough, but Ben Affleck, we're not going to get him to.
But if you put salt on something, my wife will eat it.
Yeah. So it has changed a lot.
That's unbelievable. So how would you describe the agency today and you know, what you're trying to do and how you like to work with people?
Yeah. I mean, it's funny. So when I had that opportunity to go into PR, and I was like, oh, that really felt like this was something I was making a choice to really veer away from law. I didn't know if it was the right choice, but I figured at the very least people wouldn't think I was scum of the earth anymore, because lawyers are seen as scum. Right? You're in law school. Oh my God, that's awesome. And then you
the
become
ad
a
business
lawyer,
isn't that
and
much better.
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
I had no idea that marketing people are held in even lower esteem than lawyers. It's true. I mean, at least with law, you have to go to school, right? You have to pass an exam. There's some barrier to entry. If I had a dime for every time somebody said to me, oh my God, I love to talk to people and go to parties. I'd be great at PR. Will you hire me? I would be on a beach somewhere instead of in rainy Massachusetts right now.
That doesn't sound like a man with a deep voice. I'm glad you made that stereotype, not me.
Oh, yeah. No, well, it's men too, actually.
I know. I just was picking up on that one.
Yeah.
But it's true. People think it's a big social life.
They don't understand. And also the challenge with marketing too is that everybody thinks they're a marketing genius. And everybody's not. You know, everybody has an opinion about it. So, you know, what we try to do at Marlo is just work in a really thoughtful and strategic way to, like I said earlier, deliver ROI and whatever that might mean. And we use resources when we need to. If we need to do a photo shoot with a photographer and a food stylist that costs $15,000 because it's going to be on packaging for years, then we will. We're not going to use that same team for social media images that are going to be looked at once and then forgotten, right? And so it's really, I think about, and I think a lot of agencies, there's a lot of agencies out there that aren't as thoughtful as we are in some of the work.
Is most of your work regional? There are a lot of companies in that category around here.
Yeah, we have clients up and down the East Coast. We have clients across the country. We've had clients internationally before. A hotel in Italy hired us to do PR in the U.S. They wanted to reach a U.S. audience. It was a small 12-room boutique hotel in Florence, Italy, that within 6 months was the number two hotel out of 471 hotels, I think, in Florence.
Did you have to go test out the hotel?
I did. I took one for the team on that one. I definitely took one for the team.
Not now, you don't want to do it, but back then, yes.
Oh, I'd still do, yeah. Going to Florence, I would still take one for the team.
Italy's a no-fly zone right now.
Oh, exactly. Well, yeah. Coronavirus, you might avoid that, but. So, yeah.
Very nice. Very good. Do you have business partners or is it just you?
It's just me.
Has that been, what are the sort of the pros and cons of that? What have you liked about being a sole proprietor?
It's been hard. I won't lie. I don't know that it would have been easier if I had a partner. I think it depends on who the partner is, of course, right? I know of a lot of partnerships. I've seen a lot of partnerships blow up, you know, after years. So, you know, if I had to choose now without knowing, I would definitely choose the route that I have. I'm extremely fortunate that I have a senior team of people who, you know, are amazing at what they do, who I consider true friends. And so I have the support that I need and the ability to talk really openly and freely. So I only know from my experience, so I would probably stick with being sole at this point.
If somebody wanted your newsletter, how would
they
get on it?
Go to marlomarketing.com and scroll to the bottom and sign up for Marlo Monthly. And also our blog. We have lots of interesting things to read.
Oh, that's great.
On the website, yeah.
Again, we've been speaking with Marlo Fogelman, Principal Marlo Marketing. Again, it's maybe a little redundant. If someone wants to get hold of you, how would they do that?
MarloMarketing.com is probably the best way. There's a link there just to click, and it comes to me. So.
Oh, perfect. Thank you very much for being on the show. I hope you come back, maybe bring some cases with you that you can discuss.
Thank you. Would love to.
Great. Remind everybody, this is Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back with more stories.